It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Mets win last night. Impressive offensive fashion. Jared will give you those highlights coming up in just a little bit. Again, Pete Alonso with the grand slam. It was fun to see. We talked a little bit about what Woody Johnson said down at these owners' meetings. Technically the owners' meetings or the GM meetings, whatever it is down in Florida, where everybody assembles and they're talking about the tush push and all of these things. And then we see the video. So it was just first from Mike Garofalo of NFL Network that DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers were working out together. And then, of course, there's a video of it that then goes up on the internet. And then people are saying, oh, look, I mean, those are Arthur Smith's offensive concepts that are there that they're running. I can't believe that Aaron, well, I really can't believe that I'm saying this, but it's true, that he's dragging this thing out again. He's dragging out another one of these decisions. He's got to go throw with DK Metcalf and hold another organization hostage for this long to decide what he's doing. I mean, what the hell? Either you're going to play or you're not going to play. And it's been weeks and weeks and weeks now where you could think about that. Okay, the Vikings are not in play. The Giants, you don't want to play for the Giants. All right, so the Steelers are there. You're throwing with DK Metcalf. I mean, what was he going to learn from that session from him that either put him over the edge or decided to retire? Honestly.
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, you know, there's no rush. Again, the only rush that there is for the Steelers when they get to the draft. So, Aaron, you know, I would want, if I were the Steelers, just give me, you know, a heads up right prior to the draft. You know, maybe a week out of the draft, and then this way we can tailor our draft needs around having an established quarterback as opposed to needing a new quarterback. And that to me is really the deadline for when he'll give them a decision. And if he hasn't already, I would think that it's going to be, if I had to guess, I would say 2-year deal, and there's going to be more money there, and he's going to be compensated very well. The Steelers have more than enough room to fit him under the salary cap. But again, you don't go get DK Metcalf in a trade and give him that new big contract and expect Mason Rudolph to be the starting quarterback. It's just not going to work, especially, you know, when you got George Pickens on the other side. You're going to have to have somebody like Aaron Rodgers back there. And I don't know, the word controlling is the wrong word, but it's appeasing those players and demanding greatness from those players. And I think that, you know, he's the closer he gets to the draft, the more he's throwing the ball, the more he's going to want to play. He's going to be a year removed from his injury. And he's going to go to a team that, even though the fans of that team are sick of their coach, for the most part, I can't say all fans are. I can just feel like there's a growing group of fans that are against keeping Mike Tomlin for whatever reason. It's a much more stable situation than what Aaron stepped in here.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that if Mike Tomlin were the coach here, there'd be just as much chatter about that as there is in Pittsburgh, even with a team like the Jets, who hasn't won a Super Bowl in a very long time and would probably be thinking like, oh, okay, you know, this is great that we've got all these winning seasons. But, I mean, it's when you have that organization that's got six Lombardis and you're not winning playoff games and you feel like you're that far away and that guy's been there for a very, very long time. I mean, I don't think it's an irrational take by the fans. Now, you may end up getting a guy where you don't make the playoffs for 10 years and you look back at Mike Tomlin's tenure there as something more special. But he's got the one Super Bowl win.
I didn't say that, you know, that fans shouldn't be upset with him. I'm just saying that and things grow stale. You know, this is one of the reasons why Aaron Rodgers wanted to leave Green Bay in the first place, because things got stale. And remember, when Aaron did sign with the Jets, you remember when it was? It was the week right before the draft.
Yeah, but
that was a trade, and Green Bay was messing around and probably making it a little bit difficult on the Jets. But we all knew that, you know, Aaron was coming to the Jets.
Well, hell, Joe Douglas told us on the White Eagle Hall stage at Boomer and Geo Live 1. He's going to be here. And it went everywhere. That was the one, and that was before it happened.
And I feel like we're in the same situation with the Steelers. It's the same thing. He's going to be there. It doesn't have to happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen a week from today.
Yeah, I just think that when you are a fan of a team and the reputation of Aaron Rodgers is to drag these things out, and you're worried because your team has got Mason Rudolph as a starting quarterback and the other option for Aaron Rodgers is to retire, and you're sitting there waiting and you're not positively sure that he's going to sign there, it's nerve-wracking. It's annoying. I mean, I need to know who my quarterback is, for God's sakes. They went out and they made this big trade for DK Metcalf. I want to know what we're doing in the draft. I want to know these things. So that's where a lot of this stuff comes from, is the uneasiness of a very large fan base that has no idea their starting quarterback's going to be in a very important season for them.
Well, I believe it's going to be Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And I believe that it will happen before the draft.
Well, it's better. I think it's for sure better than 50-50 at this point.
I think the deal's already done, actually.
Yeah, but then why not announce it? I don't know what would be the reason to.
Who knows about timing? I have no idea about timing. You know, who knows if the Steelers are holding back or for some. You know, I don't know. I have no idea why these things drag out like this. There's a whole bunch of reasons why.
Yeah.
I just think it's going to happen. It's just inevitable. And if he's out playing catch with DK Metcalf, he's not doing it, you know, just because he wants to throw the ball to DK Metcalf.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that kind of made me swing to the fact that it's more than maybe 50-50. It's definitely more like 75% at this point.
You know, honestly, I really feel like I hope he does. I hope he goes and plays with the Steelers. I want him to play with the Steelers. I want him to, you know, go into that division. That division's tough. The division's a pain in the ass. You're going to have to put up 28 points probably to win most of your games. And this will be one of the better defenses that Aaron will have, because, you know, the Steelers, they still play defense good. The problem with the Steelers is that they never get enough from their offense. Can you imagine if the Steelers would just average 24 points a game as opposed to 15 points a game?
Yeah, and when they were doing that with Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, the defense wasn't nearly as good as it is now. So they never were really able to strike the right balance.
I feel like Mike Tomlin needs the balance between both sides, and Aaron Rodgers will give it to him on offense and just play defense, man, led by T.J. Watt. Draft some more defensive players, all from Georgia.
Yeah.
if you can keep Philadelphia from drafting those guys.
Yeah, which they've done and been great at. And we heard from Jimmy Haslam in Jerry's last update saying a huge swing and a miss with Deshaun Watson. You've mentioned it before. Chances of him playing another game for the Cleveland Browns are about zero at this point, so they're going to have to figure out when they're going to get their next quarterback. So is it this year? I mean, do they go in and decide to draft Shedeur Sanders if he's there, if the Titans don't take Cam Ward, and how that affects the Giants is a big deal. Because number two is going to really, one and two are going to determine the Giants' future, but two even more so if both quarterbacks end up being gone.
Yeah, they're going to be about five or six guys that are at the top of this draft that are better players than both Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. And it really is going to come down to quarterback needy teams as the deciding what they're going to do. And quite frankly, I don't know how Tennessee does not go with Cam Ward. I really don't. Unless somebody offers them a stupid compensation package, which, you know, then is still going to set them back.
So you're more in on Cam Ward being a top pick now than you were a few weeks ago?
Only because the people at the top of the draft need a quarterback. That's why.
Yeah.
If you sat here and you told me that somehow the Bengals had the number one overall pick or the Bills had the number one overall pick trade or something like that, I'm telling you they're going Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter.
Yeah, but just
or
because...
Or even Mason Graham. Mason Graham will be another player that is going to go in the top five.
But just because you need a quarterback doesn't necessarily mean that you take one. I mean, I think that the Giants were going to be done with Daniel Jones no matter what at the end of last year. He had to go out there and basically have a Sam Darnold-esque season like Sam had last year in Minnesota to keep him. And, you know, they passed on a number of quarterbacks that were still available after the time.
Well, they passed on Michael
Penix and Bo Nix. And J.J. McCarthy.
You know, and the thing is that Malik Nabers was such a supreme talent that they couldn't pass up that talent, which they needed.
Which is exactly what I'm saying about these other teams, quarterback needy teams with the talent that's at the top of the draft that they couldn't pass up.
I think they were still hoping for Daniel Jones to shake out of it and go back to being the player he was 2 years prior. But there are a number of these can't-miss players at the top of this draft, like Malik Nabers, that, you know, if I am Brian Daboll and Joe Shannon and I'm trying to save my job, I got to get an impact player. I can't, you know, am I going to bring in Shedeur Sanders and then sit for a year and play for another coach next year?
Well, the hope is with Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston there that you're not playing with another coach. I mean, you know.
And I'm just telling you, he's just not that explosive. He's just not an explosive player. I mean, Cam Ward is an explosive player.
Yeah, but I mean, if you play the position well, and you mentioned the Dak Prescott comparison, you know, if he's Dak Prescott and putting up those numbers, how explosive do you need to be? As long as you're winning games and
throwing touchdowns,
he's
not Jaden Daniels, and he's not going to do what Jaden Daniels did.
Yeah, well,
that's for sure.
I think that's a consensus there. And with the Deshaun Watson thing and the big swing and miss with the Browns, you know, and I mentioned this before, but you know, we're talking about Rafael Devers and the pride that he has, and you were saying that side of an athlete, and he's not going to be striking out and feeling great about it and forcing his way out of there. But I honestly think that Deshaun Watson is that guy that doesn't care anymore.
Like, well, he didn't want to go to the Browns in the first place.
I think that he...
You know that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, then the only reason he went there, he wanted to go to Atlanta. Then the Browns did the crazy thing, the guaranteed contract and more money. They were desperate to get him there, and he ended up going, oh, hell, I'll go there and take all that money. I don't think he has a prideful bone left in his body. I think he knows that he doesn't have to step on a football field ever again, that he didn't go to jail or get arrested for any of the accusations with the massage therapist. He's going to get paid every cent of that contract, and he's going to live like a king for the rest of his life. He doesn't care what anybody says about him.
Yeah, that may be the case. If you remember, it was either Atlanta or New Orleans he wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And neither Atlanta or New Orleans was willing to do in terms of the trade and the contract that Cleveland did. They basically bought him to bring him to Cleveland. They you know, they overpaid, and they made it like impossible for him to say no.
Yeah, and he went there.
And look at the Texans
and
now.
And
look, what the Texans are doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, back-to-back playoff appearances.
That's why I thought if I were the Browns, and as much as I admire Myles Garrett, and I'm sure the Browns love him, I would have traded him, much like Houston traded Deshaun Watson. And you could have gotten a very similar package for Myles Garrett, and then you could have restarted your entire... They could take a quarterback. They could take, you know, who knows what they could end up getting with the package that they could have gotten for him.
You really think it could have been similar to the Deshaun Watson?
I don't know if it would have been as many first-round picks, but at least two.
Yeah, I mean...
At least two and maybe a couple of others, or maybe even a player. I mean, Myles Garrett is thought of as like a really game-changing player. He is.
Yeah, no, I know he is. But, I mean, when it comes to a quarterback and someone that's younger than Miles Garrett is now and Deshaun Watson was traded, I just think it would be tough to match that compensation. But looking back now, I mean, is this like the Herschel Walker trade that led to the Cowboys dynasty was always looked at as the worst trade in NFL history?
Yeah, because the Cowboys didn't win with Herschel and Minnesota was able to rebuild.
No, Minnesota did not rebuild. It was the Cowboys who rebuilt. So it was the Cowboys traded Herschel Walker to the Vikings.
The Vikings gave all the picks. Yeah, the other way around.
And Dallas ended up using those picks to build the dynasty with...
with Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Yes.
So is now...
That's the kind of trade I was hoping that the Browns would make.
Right, but is now the reference point for the worst trade in NFL history? Is it now Deshaun Watson?
Oh, 100%. 100%. He didn't do anything plus $230 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
In a capped sport.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I mean, that was. All right. Let's see. So the Vikings got Herschel Walker, a third round pick in 1990. This is right up Al's alley. And a third round pick in 1991. The Vikings sent linebackers Jesse Solomon, David Howard, cornerback Isaac Holt, defensive end Alex Stewart, running back Darren Nelson, and draft picks Minnesota's first, second, and sixth round picks in 1990, first and second round picks in 1991, and first and second and third round picks in 1992.
That's insane. That is insane.
And those guys turned into like Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman, Alvin Harper.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, the Browns. They wouldn't have gotten that kind of compensation. Everybody has learned from that, except for the Browns.
I still think this Herschel Walker.
The Browns finally had one asset that everybody in the league would have wanted.
Yeah, what was the... I got to go back and see the whole
thing. I think three first-round picks for Deshaun Watson.
I mean, it
plus is... $230 million.
It is... I mean, it's close. Because, you know, like that Herschel Walker trade happened and then nothing like that ever really happened again because people saw how bad it was. Like the closest thing was that...
Ricky Williams?
Yeah, Ricky Williams, Mike
New Orleans, thing. Yes. Trade the whole draft to get Ricky Williams.
And then he put the dreads on.
Yeah.
Oh, it's entertainment for days. Deshaun Watson trade. Okay. Traded for Cleveland's 2022 first and fourth round selections. 2023 first and third round selections, and 2024 first and fourth round selections.
All right, so six players and three of those being first rounders and all of them being top 100, except for that fourth rounder.
Yeah. It's a toss-up, man. I think different times in NFL history.
Yeah, but $230 million.
Right.
And look at what the Texans did, and look at what the Cowboys did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why... to me, you could have gotten somebody hook, line, and sinker for Myles Garrett.
I mean, those are just horrendous trades. I mean, so bad. And Deshaun Watson, on top of this, had been accused. Like, this was not before he got accused by 10,000 massage therapists. Yes. This was after. And they guaranteed. What was the number that they guaranteed?
$230 million. All of it.
God. It is incredible.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more. And get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry Recco here. He's got another update for us. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, we're brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Mets in Miami last night to take on the Marlins. Mets did not have a good weekend, as we know, in Houston to open the season. They couldn't hit. Last night, though, that was not the case.
Here's Torrence. First ball swinging. It's in the air to deep center. Hill going back onto the track. Jumps, and it goes off his glove and over the fence for a home run, I believe. Vientos only now is between second and third. They still haven't made a signal. Torrens was standing between first and second, but our eyes did not deceive us. It's a home run.
Yes, it was. Good call by Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
I think it did not go through the webbing of his glove. It looked like he kind of had it and just
like off the top.
It out.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the momentum when he hit the wall or something. Either way, it's a home run. Mets win 10-4. A two-run homer for Brandon Nimmo, a solo home run from Starling Marte, and Pete Alonso with a grand slam. All in all, manager Carlos Mendoza.
Felt like up and down, really good at bats, controlled the strike zone, and did damage when we needed to. Nimmo continued to hit the ball hard. Obviously, Louis, Siri on that double, you know, getting the pitch up in the zone.
That's Jose Siri he's talking about.
The amazing
about
thing
here.
Is what was the Marlins manager, Clayton McCullough, doing, leaving, Quantrill out there?
Yeah, I don't. It's a great question.
Yeah. I mean, that was the discussion they were having in the booth.
Yeah.
I don't know. The amazing thing is that obviously he gives up the home run, and then they take him out. Like, they could have taken him out like three pitchers or three batters before that, or two batters before that.
Well, worked out for the Mets, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yes.
Here was Alonso. Nice to get that first home run.
No, it does. I mean, it's a long time without hitting one, and to finally do it in a big league game, it feels pretty cool. I can do it still.
Well, we saw that in the postseason. Of course he can.
30 million reasons for you to do it.
And David Peterson went six innings, nine strikeouts for the win. Said the slider was really working.
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, kind of the work that we had put in, saw the shape that I wanted to see and felt like I was able to put it where we wanted to and get the swings and misses.
And so the Mets now 2-2. The Marlins, after taking 3-4 from the Pirates, now 3-2 on the season. The series continues tonight with Kodai Senga facing Sandy Alcantara. Peterson, though, he looked like the pitcher we saw last year.
Oh, he
in
looked
the second
great,
half
man.
And in the postseason.
Six solid innings.
Pretty good.
What about 93? Would you say 93 pitches? Or
I didn't see the exact number, but that sounds right.
Yeah, I mean, he thought he looked great yesterday.
Yankees home for the Diamondbacks. Will Warren, Corbin Burns, the matchup there on the Fan at 6:25. This was Sunday. So we know Rafael Devers has had a rough start. That continued yesterday in Baltimore, where the Orioles beat the Red Sox 8-5. Devers 0-3, three strikeouts. He's batting zero. And he's got 15 strikeouts in the five games in 19 official at-bats. Now, he did walk a couple of times yesterday, which is something Alex Cora pointed to as good foul balls that he had. But they're digging. This was Jonathan Papelbon's Sunday after they had lost a game on Nesson. And this was the Devers commentary.
Maybe he's out of shape. I don't know about both of them, but, you know, game shape, playing shape. But, you know, maybe we got to trim a little bit of fat, Jim. You know what happens when you trim fat?
Well, we know they're not hitting shape, right? So they're not hitting. Okay, go ahead. We're talking about trimming fat. What happened?
Pig squeal.
Oh.
Where's this going?
No, go ahead. Just, I mean, like, you trim fat, pig squeal. Pig I mean, squeal. That's what you're looking for your pigs to squeal.
They need some squealing.
Hit home runs.
They need some squealing.
Yeah, I mean, does he basically, I mean, he's saying he's fat and out of shape, and he's saying he needs to get in shape.
Correct.
And he's going to squeal because he's upset?
I thought the squealing meant the bat was going to get loud.
Oh, okay.
That's right. How I took it. I actually didn't think it was as bad as it looks in print.
No, they actually, when they, never mind.
You're such a pig.
I'm thinking that it's the pig is going to the slaughterhouse and getting trimmed, and he's squealing because they're slaughtering.
Well, that's literal. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to take him to a slaughterhouse anytime soon.
No, I know. I
but
know
does that.
That
mean that they're getting him out of here?
No. Well, you know, let him lose some weight. It's just something that, I don't know, Papelbon sounds like he's from Texas or the South or something.
You think?
Yeah, so he's been around pigs his whole life. That's what it sounds like.
Why? Just because you're from the South, you live around pigs?
Yeah,
everybody grows up on a farm.
Well, former teammate of mine was a big Iowa pig farmer.
Okay.
He's been around pigs a lot. It happens.
Is that a cartoon pig running across CBS Sports Network, or am I hallucinating?
Is that Porky Pig, or who is that?
Wow, that is pretty funny. Anyhow, Cedric Mullins, by the way, single double drove in four in the Orioles' win. Meantime, in Sacramento.
Welcome to West Sacramento on a historic night for the Athletics franchise as they usher in a new era right here at the ballpark in West Sacramento.
Bay Area
West
Sports.
Sacramento.
Yeah, the problem, and it was historic, but it was not historic for the A's.
Center field. Going back, Blade. It's off the wall. Racing towards second.
Go, 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 go,
go,
go.
Go.
And he's in.
Oh, my. We got a cycle. Take that, Mark Grace.
And Mark Grace, the last to do it for the Cubs back in 93, I think it
then
was.
He's in the booth
like
saying no, no, no.
What's that?
Was that him in the booth going no, no, no?
I think go, go, go.
Oh,
I
go,
thought.
Go, go. Okay.
Yeah, was, so. Isn't that...
All right, center field.
Yeah, let's go.
Going back, Blade. It's off the wall. Racing towards second.
Go, go. Yeah, go, no, go, right, go. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, so what are the dimensions of this ballpark? Do we know?
342 to left, 410 to center, 362 to right.
Well, it's a normal baseball, but it's a minor league stadium, so it's normal major league dimensions. Why? You think it looks short or something?
I don't know. Wait till the Yankees get out there with their... new bats.
Well, isn't that what the mayor of Sacramento or the owner of the A said? People in Sacramento are going to get to see Aaron Judge come into town.
Yes.
Like, not the A's, but other big stars.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyhow, 18-3 was the final score there.
What is the A's over-under number this year for
wins? I don't know, but they obliterated it last year. I think last year it was like 50 or 51.
And I think it couldn't have been that low because 54.5 was the lowest of all time with the White Sox this year.
Okay.
So it had to be more than
that. I do know the A's were well beyond the over-under number last year.
Well, they've already got two wins this year.
Well, there you go.
So do the White Sox, by the way.
You know who's got no wins? The Braves. They're 0-5. They lost to the 6-0 Dodgers 6-1. Brian Snitker on being winless.
No, it's not good. You know, love to get a win.
Think he grew up around pigs, too. Yeah.
Sounds like a guy was milking some cows. You know?
Yeah, well, both the Dodgers and the Padres are undefeated right now.
All right, we get to the NFL. The owner meetings in Florida. Aaron Glenn and Summer Saying seemed a bit combative yesterday with the media. I mean, I watch it. It just looks like that's him. First, he's asked about having Jamie and Sherwood. We know his importance, and Glenn certainly made that pretty obvious.
Getting him was critical for us to continue to build this defense.
How do you feel like he fits in with your defense?
We wouldn't sign him if I didn't think he would fit in.
Oh, I said how? How do you think he fits in?
He fits in very well. We wouldn't sign him if I didn't think he could fit in.
I hear the
you
South
dumbass. You hear the words coming out of my mouth? Are you an idiot or something?
We may get that. You never know.
So here he is with Rich Cimini asking about another player.
Do you think Jordan Travis will be ready to go for OTAs, and what are your plans for him?
Well, I'm not a doctor, so I can't tell you that.
What are your plans for this year?
If he's ready to play, he's going to compete.
There you go.
Good enough for you, ass face. Is that okay? Is that a good answer for you, Mr. Media Man?
I'll tell you what, though. It does sound combative to me.
Yes, and there
it does.
Some people,
for no reason. Is Jordan Travis going to be ready? I'm not a doctor.
Some people on social media thinks he's got it out for Rich Cimini.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I don't know if he does or he doesn't.
Well, he knows what he's walking into.
Yeah.
100%. There's one thing you got to say. He knows what he's walking into.
He's also walking into this guy who has asked how he feels about Glenn after hiring him 2 months ago.
The same thing I thought then. I'm so impressed. The guy is a total winner.
Yeah,
Coming from a total loser.
Yeah, right. And I would know because I'm the exact opposite. I'm a loser. I can see a winner because I'm a loser. Yeah.
Called claims of being graded an F false and bogus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sure.
That was on SNY, Woody. What else? Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, was asked if the team is open to trades. We know that Tennessee has the number one trade coming up in the draft.
I think we're open to everything at this point. I mean, we've been consistent with that approach from the get-go, and that hasn't changed. We're doing our due diligence on all the options available to us, and when it comes time to make the decision, we'll make it.
He also said they have a obvious leader in the clubhouse for what they plan to take at number one, assuming they don't make any moves there. Conversation about Aaron Rodgers. You got the video of him in DK Metcalf, Mike Tomlin. I played some Tomlin yesterday. As the morning went on, more came out. He was asked at one point with that poor guy sitting next to him.
Mark Caboli, yeah.
Dude, that took, yeah. Guy took a beating yesterday.
Yeah. And he's been there for many years. He was there when I was there. And actually, Pat McAfee uses him on his show for Steelers stuff. So he's got a little more of a national following these days. But yeah, he's always been a goofball. So the fact that that happened to him was just perfect.
One guy slowed it down. He's like, watch him turn into a zombie in front of our eyes.
No, I mean, really. And then finally he wakes up out of it and like he was sleeping with his eyes open or something. I don't know. And then I saw him respond to one guy. He goes, it was 7:30 in the morning. Give me a break. I'm like, 7:30? Excuse me?
Say it's 4 a.m.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Anyway, here was Tomlin. So when does a deal with Rodgers need to get done, assuming one does get done?
I hadn't thought a lot about it. There is no drop-dead date specifically in my mind, no.
So he's comfortable being uncomfortable.
I don't know if you guys had mentioned this when I was out or anybody has brought this up, but David Imondi on X sent this to me. So I guess that Pat McAfee is doing a live show at PPG Paints Arena where the Penguins play on April 9th. And the speculation is that live that night, Aaron Rodgers will be there and announce that he is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Okay.
Why is he doing a live show there? Do you know why? Is something to do with Sidney Crosby or something?
I think he's... Isn't he from Pittsburgh?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just saying... When you say a live show,
like ours, kind of,
it's a night show.
Oh, okay.
Mike Tomlin gonna dump ranch dressing on somebody.
Oh, I
the
see.
The guy who's sitting next to him.
Yeah. And out comes Aaron Rodgers.
Squirting Heinz ketchup on everybody.
Yes.
Is that kind of stealing our ideas?
Because yes,
Joe Douglas announced, sort of.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, that's what's going on.
It's all right. All right. Well, there you go.
That's okay. You know
right
what I tell
the
you.
Draft.
They say imitation, flattery, whole thing.
That's it. Best form of flattery. New Giants quarterback Jameis Winston with the media on a Zoom. Why he is here.
The interest that brought me to New York was the fact that there was a quarterback room that they were looking to get better and making a difference in. And I saw that window opportunity open. But just the fact that the Big Apple is the biggest city in the world with the greatest fans in the world as well to create some popularity, that didn't hurt.
To create some popularity.
That didn't hurt.
The it's Giants.
It's going to be a fun year.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to be fun.
We all know the team sucks. But there's a lot of people here who are going to like me.
Now, the Giants website posted a video, get to know Jameis a little bit.
My spirit animal would either be a tiger, because I have the eye of a tiger, or it would be a lion, because I'm the king of the jungle. A platypus is a duck-billed anteater with a beaver tail.
Where did that come from?
So it's just the way it was cut together.
Oh, okay.
It went right into
stick
it went right into
the headhunter out. Gotta call the headhunter.
It went right into the next question that they posted something about. Do you know what a platypus is? And then he talked about Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, okay,
Perry the platypus. But yeah, just,
platypuses eat ants.
I had no idea, or that they had.
I didn't know
beaver bills.
No, beaver tails.
But whatever.
Daddy?
Yeah, I know this is a very strange animal, but I didn't know if they ate ants.
Yeah, platypus with a beaver tail. Okay. And a duck bill.
And a duck bill. Exactly.
Like, how did they make it through all of this?
I think if they're an Australian, one of those species that got kind of separated out.
Yeah, I mean, you think about all the extinct species over the course of the world. Somehow the platypus made it through. What is it doing? Why do we need this?
I don't know. Do platypuses walk the United States?
No.
Right. So, do you know anything about a platypus? I don't. I just know Phineas and Ferb, like Jameis Winston does. No idea. Didn't know an anteater was real.
Aardvark.
You didn't know that?
No, I mean, as a kid, I didn't. I thought it was a made-up cartoon thing. What else? The Nets beat the Mavericks, 113-109. Knicks Sixers coming up tonight. The Lady Huskies beat USC by 14 as Paige Beckers had 31. They're into the Final Four yet again. Texas also advanced with a win over TCU, 58-47. It was the Devils over the Wild in a shootout, 3-2. And you've got the Islanders and the Lightning coming up later tonight.
Platypus kind of looks like a duck that's transitioning into a beaver. No, I'm taking a look here. I mean,
you'll know as your girls get older, Phineas and Ferb, I'm telling you.
Yeah. So what is the platypus in that show?
Perry the platypus.
Perry the platypus.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a big part of the program.
It is.
All right, cool.
I'm telling you, it's a great show.
It is Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough Studio.
The Beaver. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I don't know if a bunch of people sent you this as well, but it was during the broadcast last night where they were showing an Asian fan wearing a polar bear hat, and Ron Darling thought it was Kodai Senga when it wasn't. you see the guy, it's Pete Alonso's behind Pete Alonso, and here Ronnie goes, oh, Senga. And then Gary's like with the special headgear. He's got this big polar bear hat, but I'm pretty sure it's not. Like, everybody that was watching the game is like, that's not Kodai Senga, Ron. So
then who was it?
It was a fan in the stands.
Oh, it was in the stands.
He was like, had a good seat right there.
Right behind the dugout.
Yeah.
So you kind of see the deal here. Like, it's right. It's this video here. See? Okay. Right there. You can watch it if you want. But someone said this. Ron, I don't think. Well, people first thought it was Keith who said it. It was actually Ronnie who said it. That's ridiculous. Anyway, what the hell is your buddy Frank Reich doing, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I really don't know what he's doing.
So I saw this yesterday. If anybody missed it, Frank Reich takes the interim position of Stanford football head coach for 1 year, and 1 year only. Now, the new GM out there of Stanford football is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck and Frank Reich have a relationship because Andrew Luck, of course, was there with Frank in Indianapolis, and then Andrew Luck decided to retire or quit or whatever you want to say. And then Frank got this crazy, weird quarterback thing going on for many years when he was there in Indianapolis. And, of course, he gets fired and then goes to Carolina, gets fired from there. But, you know, as far as I know, this guy's still getting paid a lot of money to not coach. He's like the Kevin Durant of coaches.
So, no, I can't argue that. I mean, you're somewhat accurate in that regard. Yes, I think he still had this year and next year left on his Panthers contract that they have to pay. And this is a very interesting thing for me because, you know, I kind of knew a little about what was going on. And, you know, Frank loves football so much that he's been asked to do some different work for some different teams and some consulting. He's actually turned down a couple of offensive coordinator jobs. I know he's building a new house down in Carolina. And his life seemed to be going great, you know, and then out of the blue, Andrew Luck, who becomes the GM of the football program out there at Stanford because he's out there getting his master's, and sits in with the president and says, you know, what do we got to do to get the football program straightened out? And the president says, I know, you're the GM.
Yeah.
So Andrew took that job, and unfortunately for Stanford, their latest head football coach, they had to fire in March simply because of the way that he was supposedly treating female employees. Mm. I don't know the story, but Andrew ended up having to fire him. And didn't want to fire the coaching staff because the coaching staff is too late to build a whole coaching staff. He has a coaching staff. So he felt like he needed somebody just to be there to kind of like, I don't want to use the word babysit. It's not that. It's that he just wanted somebody that he trusted, that he had been in meetings with, and that kind of fits the Stanford model of what they're trying to build out there. And that is Frank, no question about it. And he and Frank have a very close relationship, and it goes back to when he inherited Andrew in 2018. Andrew had an incredible year that year. And then, unfortunately, going into the 2019 season, right before the season, Andrew decided he couldn't go through any more of the rehab and the injuries after a seven-year career.
And you know what's really amazing, though, is the fact that Frank Reich's entire coaching career could have had a different trajectory if Andrew Luck stayed there as a quarterback.
And it would have been totally different.
Right, and then he ends up getting paid a bunch of money after getting fired in the first year of his contract. And now Andrew Luck is there, the guy who kind of pulled out the rug from underneath him, giving him a job all the way out there in Stanford for a year. It's a crazy story, but like you always talk about taxes, and this is one thing that I thought about. If he's getting paid all this money from the Carolina Panthers,
this is going to be interesting
to not coach, right? And he goes out now and he's living in California and he is the Stanford football coach. Is all that money that he's getting paid from the Carolina Panthers get taxed?
That's why I say this is a really interesting case study about, so what happens in the NFL, if you do have money left on your contract and you're not coaching, then that previous team that you work for has to pay you. So they have to pay him what he is owed this year and what he's owed next year from the Carolina Panthers. But in their contracts, they have an offset language, meaning that if you take another job within the NFL or at college, whatever you're making from that college goes against what that team is supposed to pay you. So let's just say Stanford gives Frank $1 million this year. That means the Panthers only owe him $9 million. But that doesn't mean Frank's making any more money. He's basically going out to Stanford for nothing. Like he's getting paid to do nothing.
Wow.
But the fact of the matter is the relationship between him and Andrew is still very, very strong and has been. And I know that he has talked with Andrew a ton of time over the last 7 years. They've created a unique friendship. And I wish Andrew would have been able to stay with Frank because I think they would have done great things together. But this is, I have to say, he's one of my best friends. It's bizarre to me.
Really?
It really is, because I've never heard of this. There may have been a situation somewhere around, but I've never heard of anything like this.
See, I thought when I was going to bring it up to you, you're going to be like, oh, this is the reason he did it, and give me a bunch of reasons to make me understand it better, but you're just as confused as I am,
I guess. Well, it's the relationship between he and Andrew, and Andrew reached out to a guy that he trusts.
Yeah.
And a guy that he's been in meeting rooms with, and who's got an impeccable reputation and integrity, you know, oozing integrity. And that's what Andrew wanted for Stanford. He wanted a guy just to come in and settle things down. I don't know if Andrew has his eye on somebody else that was unavailable right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the next guy that he hires, he's got to say, okay, I'm going to hire you, and then you can go hire your coaching staff.
Yeah, stopgap guy, Frank Reich.
It's interesting. So Frank is, you know, he signed his initial contract in Indianapolis, taking over for Josh McDaniels. And I still never understood why Josh McDaniels backed out of that job. Maybe he knew that Andrew was standing on one leg or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Then Frank gets that job, gets that contract. And then Indianapolis gave him a second contract.
He won a coach of the year, didn't he?
That's exactly right. Yeah. Then he got a second contract. And then he got fired from Indianapolis and replaced by Jeff Saturday, which was even more bizarre. Because that was kind of like what's going on here, but yeah. It's not in the middle of the season.
Right. It's before the season, but after everybody got hired in the last hiring cycle. So.
And then the craziest thing is that Frank, you know, moves back home to Carolina. That's where they live. And then the Panther job comes open, and he goes in for an interview, and Tepper gives it to him.
And fires him before the season ended.
It's totally bizarre.
Yeah,
and he could write a book. I told him, I said, you got to write a book.
Yeah,
I mean, because your career path here just in the last 5 years has been nothing short of amazing. And everywhere he's been, almost all of the quarterbacks, maybe with the exception of one that I could think of, had their best year with him.